This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon producing the show back in our studios. We are getting closer and closer to first pitch of 2025. Vern's on deck show. Just under an hour away, the first one of 2025, and our Royals insider Josh Vernier joins us outside Gate D, and you'll be doing your on-deck show from here today as well. A lot to get into with you because I want to talk about tomorrow night as well, and we're hoping to see a lot of listeners out of Hollywood Casino for a great roundtable. The expectations are real this year for the Royals. You know, it's not just, well, be competitive. Like, no, like, win this division, be right there in this division. That's fun.
Yeah, there's a reason for the expectations, because I think we had expectations when we sat out here last year.
Yeah.
It was a touch bit more, and JJ mentioned this a little while ago, a little bit more hopeful last year. This isn't a hopeful expectation. It's a bit more of a demanding expectation. And, you know, last time I think we had that was 2017, which just so happened to be just a few weeks before the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes. So really, this to me is the greatest opening day that Kansas City's ever seen, where there's true expectations based on evidence coupled with the greatest quarterback of all time and a dynastic football team across the way.
Oh, no big deal. You just might have the best football player on the planet and the best baseball player on the planet at the same time.
And they seem like good dudes, great Kansas Cityans.
No, the Players Tribune article from Bobby yesterday was awesome.
And they were both, they both love the city and are like they are cut from the same cloth. And I don't just say that because we're in Kansas City. Like, if you're around them enough, they are determined winners. Like, I will fall on my sword to win. Like, you know, and that, you don't get that out of every athlete. We always try to pretend like everyone cares at that level. They don't. Some guys care about money or a million other things or whatever. Those guys both, like, when Bobby says, I don't have any season goals for myself, my goal is to win, he means it.
Yeah. Oh, without question. And the thing that interests me, a lot of things interest me when it comes to Bobby Witt Jr., but I don't know when you guys would know better than me, when the first time you would say, when it comes to Patrick Mahomes, there's what makes him great. You know, maybe it's the throw against the Niners. Maybe it happened early, but it now happens pretty consistently in big games. You see the fire in Patrick Mahomes. Oh, that's what makes him great. He can dig deep and find something extra that nobody else really in the history of the sport's been able to find. Bobby doesn't show that very often. He's always that, you know, salt of the earth, humble, nice young man. there are certain occasions, I always bring up the triple that he hit and that great comeback against the Mariners, when he shoots a glare to the dugout that, man, still gives me chills. You could feel it in your bones. Whatever that fire is that allows Bobby to be the best player on the planet, he doesn't show it very often. His teammates don't get to see that fire very often, but in talking with Vinny Pasquantino a few weeks ago, he says, we'll see it on occasion in tight games, in big moments, in the dugout. You can see that competitiveness. You can see that fire, that desire, that want to win within Bobby. So I'm interested if that comes to the forefront a little bit more, because it seems whenever there's a big game across the parking lot, Patrick's putting those emotions and that fire for everyone to see.
You're calling this year the sophomore album. Why? We know if everybody's been following this since, 2012 when you first started doing this, maybe? Mm-hmm. Why the sophomore album? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think last year, baseball fans fell in love with the Royals. You know, I understand people are over the Chiefs and there's more haters than there are supporters. I think this Royals team is, you know, basically like where the Chiefs were in 2019, 2020. It's tough not to like young Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek and Kelsey and that early Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs ball club. Yeah, I think the average baseball fan loves Bobby Witt Jr. I mean, those guys became stars last year with that debut album of 2024. Bobby's one of the 5 most marketed players, 10 most marketed players in Major League Baseball. Salvi and Waka, I think, further cemented just great careers. If you're a baseball fan, you're aware now of Cole Reagans and Seth Lugo and Vinny Pasquantino. Not even a diehard baseball fan, but if you're an average baseball fan, you now know those names. So I think last year's debut album put these guys on the map, made them stars. And even if there were, and you guys know, there were a lot of doubters in April, May, and into June last season. Those doubters are few and far between now. Everyone loves the Royals. Everyone's on the bandwagon because of what they did last season. So now as we prepare for 2025, how do you follow it up? Because if they do the same, Cody, if it's a repeat of 2024, if they're the DMX of baseball or the Clash of baseball and they just do on the second album what they did on the first, a lot of us would take it. But if we're being honest, I want to see everything that I fell in love with last year and a little bit more. I want to see that evolution. I want to see that growth. I want to see the improvement. Can you be Nirvana, A Tribe Called Quest? Can you be Led Zeppelin, Kendrick Lamar? And the second is even better than the first. That's the question. And I think fans will give excuses like fans of bands do. Even if you're not vibing to the first few tracks, you'll go along with it. You'll try to see what they're doing. You'll make excuses. But that's only going to last so long before they start calling you Hootie and the Blowfish.
No, you don't want to be that. You don't want to be – I mean, look, Hootie's fine, I guess.
Hootie's done well. Darius Rucker's not around.
He's done fine for himself, you know.
No, Darius is overall doing well, but Hootie –
R.I.P. DMX?
Yeah, R.I.P.
I thought so. Yeah. At least, look, here's the truth.
The great DMX.
They are – there's a photo of my wife. She's like – 15 years old, where's heading to
going?
Spain with
like
DMX. She's heading to DMX at Spain airport.
Yeah, that's awesome.
For just no reason.
Good for her for taking advantage of that opportunity.
Her two best photos are that one, and she has a photo of the original Beethoven from the movie at a Blockbuster video.
No kidding, huh?
And I just like, they were like doing tours. I was like, those are two amazing photos of youth. I can't top those.
No, and you got, I mean, young Patrick Mahomes. You've been to Super Bowls and World Series.
I can't be Beethoven.
She has Darkman X and the original Beethoven. Man.
When I don't think it's that crazy to think that the sophomore album will be better, though. Last year, we talked on this right here, sitting here last year. We were like, well, 80% of the roster is different. And that's fine because they lost 106 games last year, so whatever. This year, they didn't have to change that much. They just said, what if our bullpen had 3 guys who were better than everyone else last year and we just pushed everyone down the order? And then what if we counted on this offense being better and instead we gave ourselves a true leadoff hitter and we'll still bank on the same things? Hope Massey's keeps improving. Hope MJ turns it around. Hope Isbell is a better hit. Whatever, right? But we just gave ourselves a true leadoff hitter too. Equal quality in starting rotation, way better in the bullpen, equal quality in the lineup, except for better now because you have the – like, it doesn't seem like a leap to me that this is a better team.
Yeah, but I mean, you are kind of skimming past the fact that Bobby was MVP runner-up. Yeah. Lugo was Cy Young runner-up.
And they were healthy.
Cole Reagans finished fourth for the Cy Young. So, yeah, if you're going to tell me that those three things will be duplicated, Michael Wacha's going to make 25-plus starts and 170 innings, well, then, yeah, I agree. The sophomore album will be certainly no worse than what we saw last year. But a lot like what they're saying in Minnesota right now, Twins fans, you know, the big three in this lineup, Vinny, Salvi, Bobby, the big three in this rotation with Wacha, Lugo, and Reagans, if they can be what they were last year and duplicate it, this team's going to be there in the end. Just like they're saying with, you know, Royce Lewis, Correa, Byron Buxton, and then their starters in Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan, and Pablo Lopez. If the Royals can stay healthy, I'm with you. They are even better than last year. Now, again, I do think we're skimming over what Brady Singer meant to that team.
There
was an outside case that he could, you know, sneak his, you know, backdoor his way into the All-Star game. He was pitching so well in the first half of last season. I believe in Chris Bubich, but dude needs to go do it. Michael Lorenzen, you know, if he can avoid the walks, that's a solid number five starter. But let's remember, 4-5 last year for the first half of the season, Alec Marsh and Brady Singer, we had conversations on this show that each of them at times were the third best arm in this rotation. Will we have that conversation at some point about Bubich and Lorenzen? I hope so. Certainly not banking on it.
We're talking to Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. Reminder, his On Deck show gets going at 2 o'clock right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. A couple days ago, we went through and gave what we view as our bold take of the entire season. Text line chimed in as well. For me, it was Carlos Estevez. Of course, they signed him on that two-year deal to have a career high in saves and be an all-star. And you're like, well, how do we get here? Well, 31 saves was a career high, or is his current career high. He was an all-star that year back when he was with the Angels. It's been 2 years, I believe it is, since he did that. If we think this team, and I do at least, is going to be in that 90-win range, the fact that they have multiple bullpen arms, yeah, maybe they can rotate him around. Urseg seems more of a fireman type of role than, oh, he's going to be our ninth inning guy. What do you think of that as a take? Do you think that's crazy?
Certainly not crazy, because the ability and the paycheck given to Carlos Estevez lends itself to accumulating saves. Urseg's still pre-arb. Hunter Harvey's not making a lot of money. Angel Zerpa's not making a lot of money. And, you know, JJ still has a boss, and you want to be able to present to your boss, hey, that guy we gave all this money to, look at all the saves that he's been building up. Listen, Ian Kennedy picked up 30 saves for the 2019 team.
That's
that
crazy.
Team stunk out loud.
True.
So 32 saves from Estevez, and an, you know, I think the All-Star bid might be more difficult than the saves,
sure,
just because
Classe and these other guys in the
Bobby's going.
Yeah.
We're hoping that a starter or two will go. Salvi's likely going. To me, he's like an offensive lineman in the Pro Bowl, man. You've done it enough. You just
You're
go
in.
After a while. So I think there are three Royals that are almost automatically all-stars if they can stay healthy. That's not even talking about a guy that I think is the best first baseman in the division, Vinny Pasquantino, Seth Lugo, and then a bullpen arm might be the fifth or sixth option. So I think the saves, honestly, more likely than making the all-star team.
Mine is that Massey's going to hit 25 homers.
Which is another way of saying Massey stays healthy all season.
Yes.
Sure.
I might as well. I mean, those are similar sentences because he definitely has 25 home run power.
Yeah.
I don't fear it from that. And he obviously
does. He have a total? Because if you would have asked me, I would have said 20, 22.
Offshore's not even that. It's lower than that. 17, 18.
Okay.
It's a number a little bit lower than you would think.
Well, I'd take the over because and I've mentioned this to you guys before, you know, Massey, like so many in the past, is one to obsess, especially in the cage. And you know, hitting at the big league level, there's so much failure, you could understand how that would consume your every waking thought. So I think, you know, him learning a new position in spring training helped take his mind off of the, over analyzing his swing and just working himself into the ground. That coupled with the confidence boost that I think he received with that October performance, 25 home runs, not out of the realm of possibility.
What would yours be? What would your bold stance on, like, something
for
that happens?
For a player, yeah. I guess
sure,
for a player.
Sure. My guess for Massey's home run, I would say over 20 home runs.
Okay.
Certainly for Massey. A bold, Noah Cameron makes 10 starts.
Ooh, okay. Wow. That's bold.
Yeah, is that bold? I think so.
Somebody earlier tried to say Jack Caglione will hit 15 home runs. I was like, when's he getting up?
Whoa.
When's he getting up? That's even bolder than what
15 homers in 25 games, Vern.
Yeah. Yeah.
He just comes up and he has that Ellie run.
The thing is, though,
September.
You know, and I do it too often where I try to tamper expectations and I bring everybody down and I'm a bucket of cold water. And then I listen to Mike Sweeney talk about Jack Caglione. I listened earlier this morning to George Brett talking about Jack Caglione. I'm like, okay, well, you know what? To hell with it. I mean, if the greatest Royal ever and, you know, arguably the greatest right-handed hitter that this organization has ever seen, if they're willing to heap praise on a young man like that, and I know they get paychecks from the Royals, but it big leaguers, just like, you know, broadcaster. Some young broadcaster walks up. You guys aren't going to be like, oh, you're the best. You're the next greatest thing. No, you got to earn your stripes, right? You got to get some dirt in your cleats. And Cags doesn't have any dirt in his cleats, and the Goats are already calling him the next Bo Jackson.
So for Noah Cameron, do you think that it's eventually Lorenzen kind of wiggles his way out of that five spot? Because he feels like he's just kind of holding it anyway for either Marsh or Wright. Or Cameron in this case anyway. So.
Somebody's getting hurt in the rotation, though.
I mean, that's sad.
I know, I hate to say that, but somebody, they were so healthy in the rotation last year.
And listen, you know, the initially I want to respond with, you know, Bubic eventually finds his way out of the rotation. But in listening to JJ a little while ago, you know, you accumulate not only his numbers that he put up innings-wise at the big leagues, but the minor leagues and rehab assignments. And, you know, JJ put a number of 130 to 150 innings out there for Bubic.
That could be 25 starts.
That could, and if you manage him right, that could be, you know, basically the whole season. You skip a few starts here and there. But to me, Cameron replaces him. I think that's an easier trip. They're both very similar in that they're not going to overpower you with velocity, but they're going to hit their spots, hitting all four quadrants of the strike zone. I still don't think Bubic ends the season in the rotation. I'm with you. I don't think Lorenzen does either. Cameron Marsh maybe come and save the day down the stretch.
Also, Kyle Wright, he's on the IL to start the season. What do you expect out of him?
I don't know.
Seems like a dart throw to me. Like,
lottery
ticket.
Like, what was Chris Medlin a few years ago? You know,
you
I think he made half a dozen starts, pitched out of the bullpen. No, I'm hoping it's more. You know, you're coming off an injury like that, and immediately in spring, you tweak your hamstring. It just seems as if you try to rush it, you try to put too much on his plate, you're overcompensating somewhere else, and that leads to a further injury. So it's all gravy, in my opinion. Maybe not John Sherman's opinion, but it's all gravy the way I see it with Kyle Wright.
Josh Fern, you're joining us here on Cody and Gold. MJ Melendez, that's the name all spring training everybody's been just trying to figure out, right?
Yeah. Like,
for his own personal career, this is a huge season. For the Royals to swing from maybe being an 85 to 87 win team to a 90-plus win team, maybe MJ Melendez is the answer to that. You saw him in spring training. Everybody says he looks good. How confident are you that that can click at the plate for him this year?
Well, I don't want to say that I'm not confident, but I'm not pulling out the pom-poms.
You're not buying yet. Yeah.
We know he's good. We've seen him good for multiple months consistently, right? The second half of 24, the second half of 23. He was a quality number six, number seven hitter with some pop. I mean, even earlier in the season, he won you a few games last year. The thing is with MJ, though, they're no longer shackled to him. If he stinks, we know India and Massey have been moonlighting in the outfield. Now, if he and Renfro both stink, okay, we might have a different conversation. I just think they're better protected, and I think that's why you saw so much. It's why you saw the versatility highlighted the way that it was with Massey and India and Garcia all getting time in the outfield. So, listen, I know it's in there for MJ Melendez. We all could talk about the swing changes all we want. But what do you do when you're 0 for 10? Do you revert back to what got you here? You know, who's in your ear? What are they telling you? Or, you know, you got to the big league swinging a certain way. Are you convinced that you're going to abandon that and try something different? It's easier said than done. It's easy to try new things out in spring training, but when you're out here in front of 40,000 and, you know, the team's struggling, fans are getting on your case, you might just say to hell with it, and then that could lead to, I mean, honestly, it could lead to the end of your time in Kansas City, could lead to your exit from big league baseball. We've seen guys go from the next big thing to out of the game in the blink of an eye plenty of times.
It's why I think more than any player probably on the entire team, we've talked about other slow starters on this team. Like, Vinny's been kind of a slow starter every once in a while. He has to have a good start to the season because the Moose comparisons, for those to work, he has to get the confidence Moose got from the 2014 postseason run. He has to go up there and hit and feel like he can hit. I feel like if he starts the season well, then he will stick with it, and those things will continue, and MJ won't be worried about it all the time. Look, he was pretty telling with us when the interview he did. We said, his dad's been telling him for 3 years to change his swing. He's like, for years my dad's been saying, change it. His dad, a baseball coach, has been telling him it isn't, you know, like you should do something different, but it is hard when you get to the bigs. But I feel like he needs the confidence that, like, it's actually a successful system.
I agree 100%. And, you know, last year I think he was able to persevere through the offensive struggles because he was playing some pretty good defense, running the bases well. He was still able to help the team win. Confidence is key, but you can search for confidence for a while so long as the team is winning. If he's struggling and the team is struggling, that could be a very rapid downward spiral.
Cole Reagan's opening day starter here in a couple hours. We'll play some of our conversation with him again coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We were saying, like, he's one of the guys, like, we feel like you just don't even worry about. Like, I feel like we know what we're going to get. The question is there even another level to that? And I don't know does that even exist? I mean, the guy had 223 strikeouts last year.
I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what...
Peach pitching.
Yes, I'm saying. I feel like we know what we're getting. One of the best pitchers in baseball.
Because I wouldn't ask them to, you know, pull him earlier than they did because you have a better bullpen. No, you do that with Lorenzen. You can do that with Bubich. Maybe even Michael Wacha doesn't face a lineup a third time through. But Lugo and Reagan's, man, you can go all nine if you have it. Just being face-to-face with Cole, your guys' conversation with him, What struck you about the personality, about the man?
He strikes me a lot more like Wade Davis. He's machine-like. He cares every detail, every moment, every pitch. I think he thinks about it analytically in the sense that he wants to execute. Terminator stuff, right? I view him like that kind of pitcher.
The only pushback to Wade Davis is I don't think Wade Davis was on the verge of throwing up every single time he threw.
He says once he starts pitching, that goes away.
Right.
So I think there is, like, that's the difference. But I think once he starts pitching, all that fades.
That's what he said. Yeah, he said, once I'm out there, I'm good. But every game he gets jitters as well.
It's wild. I mean, it's appreciated, especially if I was a young ball player listening, because I know when I was
coming up, a nervous player.
Huh? Oh, I was just throughout school, all day, I'd be like, please don't hit the ball to me. You know, oh, my God. And I loved it, but I was just so nervous. For him to put that out there, I think, is reflective of a very confident and secure young man.
Tomorrow night, Vern, you got a roundtable with Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. We're all going to be out there, plus a meet and greet with the players. 6 o'clock, Hollywood Casino.
Yeah, I'll be out there quite a bit earlier trying to meet
get some bets in for the Sweet 16.
Possibly. Well,
He's got the Michigan hat on.
Yeah, I'm just going to follow Gold. You gave me a few the other day when I passed
you at the
studio.
Wow, the weekend treated me better. Yeah. The first 2 days of the tournament was not great. Saturday and Sunday were much better.
Well, yeah, we can go out, we can make some bets, but I'm also going to try to find out what the Royals fan in attendance tomorrow at Hollywood Casino, what you want to know. So I'll take your questions for today's center fielder and today's second baseman, Kyle Isbell and Michael Massey. And then, yeah, they'll be signing autographs. They'll take pictures. They'll chat it up, look back, hopefully, on today's victory. Should be a great time. I know they're excited.
Yeah, another reason for a win today, right? Like, everybody's just going to be feeling better. They get a win today. Not it's one game, but you know what I mean. It's just a different vibe. Plus, yeah, the Sweet 16 is going on, so if you do want to slide over there after we're talking and hang out, Cody's trying to talk me into go playing craps instead after the
I said, let's get a table. The listeners, let's get a table going.
Yeah, do some craps after we hear from the guys.
Yeah, that's where you'll find me. I'll be right there next to you guys.
Are you suiting up tomorrow? Are you going polo? What are you doing?
Haven't thought about it, but No, I mean, probably something similar to what I'm wearing right now. I just always try to dress like a professional golfer. I hate golf.
But they dress just, like a professional
They look
golfer.
So comfortable.
Some right of those, off,
the shirts
pants,
all
yeah.
breathe. The pants breathe. I'm a sweaty dude, so I'll be dressed like a hack golfer.
And just for those who haven't met him, Massey and Isbell, great guys
oh,
to
yeah.
interact with.
Oh,
I mean, and, you know, we've got a great relationship with yeah. Massey on the show, too, but, like, yeah. just great people to interact with and be around.
Yeah, and without sounding like a homer, really, that clubhouse is jerkless.
Yeah.
It's tough to find someone where you're like, I've had guys
yeah,
where
so you've been around plenty of guys.
I root against them. I don't want you to succeed because you're a whatever. They don't have that. No, man. And it's no surprise. That's Q. That's JJ. You guys know John Sherman, Bobby, Salvi, the leaders on this team. Good dudes, along yeah. with great ball players.
That comment stood out for me from JJ. He said it was a perfect spring training. Like, there was ne'er a thing out of place. Everyone showed up. Everyone worked. Everyone went home. Like, yeah. he said it was a flawless spring training.
The thing that kept striking me as I would stand in that clubhouse was there are no youngsters, right? There's no one where I'm like, ooh, I can't wait to see how you The only person that hasn't been a part of a playoff chase in that clubhouse is Jonathan India.
And That's he's wild. A professional baseball player.
The only guys that haven't appeared in a playoff game are India and Daniel Lynch. And Lynch was just because they had so many other pitchers to turn to last season. So even though age-wise they're not a old group, it's a clubhouse full of vets that have been there, done that, or at least pretty deep into October.
Lastly, I know you've got to get ready for On Deck Show coming up at 2 o'clock, but little switch in the pitching matchup today. Food poisoning? Have you figured out what restaurant poisoned the Cleveland Guardians pitcher for today's game?
Now, that implies that it was, you know, like the Michael Jordan in Salt Lake
yeah.
City.
Oh, you don't think he was just at Grand Falloon and had a good time last night?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't.
Before opening day, that'd be a wild time.
I would like to think that a restaurant on the text line right now would claim it.
Yeah, just stake your claim down.
Kansas City will love you forever. You do something like that, so long as Ben Lively doesn't come out
yeah,
and
well,
carve him up.
Yeah. yeah,
wait to take credit until after
right,
the
yeah,
win.
Right.
Yeah.
Ben Lively, a guy that was a former Royal.
He barely even played it here. I mean, he was here.
He was given up by like five different teams.
Yeah. He was really good for Cleveland last year.
Very good.
Yeah. All right, Vern.
Eat
appreciate it, man. We'll be listening. 2 o'clock, Vern's On Deck Show. And then, of course, tomorrow night, hope to see all of you out at Hollywood Casino. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, plus our conversation with Cole Reagans, today's opening day starter.
What's trending?
What's Trending is presented by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. We start with What's Trending. It is opening day 2025. Vern's On Deck Show starts in less than 25 minutes. First pitch a little after 3 o'clock right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan. The news from out here today has been, well, Vinny Pasquantino in the lineup. No worry there after all the talk. He's going to DH, though, so it could be a bit before he plays first base, but not going to have the IL stint, not going to miss any games at this point in time, so great news to see Vinny batting third today. That means Kevin Biggio, one of the newer members of the Royals, going to play first base, at least for the time being, but as we talked with J.J. Piccolo earlier, the Royals general manager, don't be surprised if you see a lot of games where guys get, you know, sixth inning, seventh inning, eighth inning, whatever, like all of a sudden some guys are playing some different spots than what we initially saw in the opening on the lineup card, right?
I hadn't necessarily considered it that way overall, but that does make some sense, I would say, generally speaking, that would be the case because, you know, you need a little more flexibility, and they do like to pinch hit. They do like to pinch run. They like to use the depth of their roster overall. Next up on What's Trending, what we just mentioned with Vern, Tanner Bibee has been scratched for food poisoning from starting for the Cleveland Guardians today. So their opening day starter is out. Ben Lively, the former Royal, not a Royal of note. You would not remember his time here in Kansas City.
I just think
he'd been cut
Lively.
By a number of teams over the yeah. course of time. He'll actually make the start in place of Bibee for the Cleveland Guardians. The Royals up to now about a 180 favorite, minus 180 favorite to win the game today as a result of that. So the book's kind of reflecting that a little bit. But no Tanner Bibee today. It'll be Lively versus Riggins.
Elsewhere in Major League Baseball, we know it's opening day across the entire league. The Toronto Blue Jays tried one last push before the Blue Jays season began to get a deal done with Vlad Guerrero Jr. If you guys haven't been following that, he, of course, wants a mega deal. He's due to get one this offseason, and he said, hey, if you want to make this happen, get to my number before the start of the season because I'm not negotiating in season. So the Blue Jays have presented another offer. No indication that suggests that he's going to actually sign that deal. But that's some news across the majors. I guess there's probably some games that start here in the next 15 minutes or so in the big leagues too.
Yeah.
To keep an eye on. I don't believe we've had a game yet. Yeah, first game starts in about 20 minutes. Brewers, Yankees, Orioles, Blue Jays, the first two games of the day. And then the Royals are part of a big group of games starting around that 3:10 first pitch in baseball.
Like you mentioned, the Blue Jays, by the way, that's why I like Vlad Guerrero Jr., who said he would negotiate up to the beginning of the season.
This is it.
The beginning of the season is in 30 minutes. They reportedly made another offer to Vlad Guerrero Jr. Doesn't sound like that deal's going to get done. There's still a part in the deal. All the reports are is that Vlad Guerrero Jr. thinks in the open market he can make $600 million.
Saw Soto's deal.
And Vlad is in the, you know, the Blue Jays have largely been in the $400 to $500 million range. No offense. If I think I can get it, I'm going to get it.
Elsewhere on What's Trending, I know it's all about baseball today, but the Sweet 16 is going on a little bit later on this evening. The first game is going to be BYU and Alabama. 2-6 matchup, 6:09 tip-off on CBS. Alabama, 4.5-point favorite. Other games tonight, 1-seed Florida versus 4-seed Maryland, 1-seed Duke against 4-seed Arizona. Then the late game tonight, how about 10-seed Arkansas taking on the 3-seed Texas Tech Red Raiders? That one doesn't tip till 9:09. So this game, this baseball game will be well over. You can enjoy the baseball game opening day, and you can still catch some Sweet 16 action later on tonight. That is what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Of course, also mentioned as we have throughout this hour, tomorrow, hope to see all of you out at Hollywood Casino. Vern's excited. We're all excited for an awesome roundtable discussion with Michael Massey, Kyle Isbell. Vern's going to lead that and handle all of that. Everybody else from 96.5 The Fan, we're just going to be hanging out. We're going to be listening as well, hanging out with you guys, watching some basketball afterwards as well. Hollywood Casino, 6 o'clock. Tomorrow night is where it all begins. It's free. Must be 21 or older to enter. You and I were out here yesterday for workout day and had a chance to catch up with today's opening day starter, Cole Reagans. All right, we're joined here on opening day by Royals opening day starter, Cole Reagans, on 96.5 The Fan. So before we get into some of the opening day festivities a little bit, I know you guys were just down in Arlington and I saw that the team went to Six Flags. I don't know, are you the roller coaster guy or is that somebody else?
I am not a roller coaster guy. I mean, I hate flying, so a roller coaster is just not my thing. I went golfing instead of roller coastering because I've never liked roller coasters. I'd just sit there and watch. I'm scared of them.
I don't like heights. Is it heights in general? Because I'm terrible. They give me a hard time. I can't. Even at Kauffman upstairs, it's struggle.
Heights and the spinning around upside down, I'd throw up.
Have you considered you don't have a great job for I hate flying? That sentence. You know how often you fly as a big league player.
Yeah, I know. There's like three or four of us that we just look at each other when it starts getting bumpy and we're just like, golly, cover my face and wait for it to stop.
Who's the guy on the team that I guess maybe just acts like a little kid on the roller coaster? I know you weren't there this go around. You say we're golfing, but in general.
I'm trying to think who loves like roller coasters.
Asking who's the biggest kid, you know?
I don't know. I saw Mac was screaming like a little girl on there one time, so definitely not him, but I don't know, honestly.
I know, like, it's still so early in your big league career. Like, how much does it still, like, the opening day part of it, right? I'm the opening day starter for the beginning of the baseball season for the Royals. How much does that still hit you?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's I don't even know if I have words, you know? It's exciting. Still get the nerves just as much as ever. Like you said, I mean, I haven't been up that long, but opening day is always exciting. I mean, even watching the guys that have been around for 10 plus years, they're super excited just like the rest of us. It's I don't think it'll ever change. It's super exciting. I'm looking forward to it. Just to see this place packed obviously gets you gives you the jitters just seeing all the fans for the first time again. It's super exciting.
You said the jitters. So, I mean, do you still get that on an opening day?
I get that every day. Every time I pitch, I'm I'm a very nervous guy, you know, hard to eat, hard to keep food down. You know, it's I go through it whether it's start one or start 33, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm always nervous.
I guess like to that point a little bit, like there was a whole big spring training storyline of like you got hit kind of hard in a spring training game. It's like, no, I don't like that. Like maybe the words like it pisses me off still, right? Like to be bad in a spring training game. Like, does the nervousness come from the competitive part, or like how do you think that works for you?
If
like
I definitely
even in a spring training game, you don't like having bad outings, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you always hear, oh, it's spring training. Don't pay attention to spring training numbers. And there's a you know a part to that, but overall, you know, you still don't want to go out there and suck. So yeah, I mean, I still get pissed off about it. But no, I mean. I think it's more of like I get nervous because it's you want to do so good, like it's a thing where it's like, you know, I've prepared for this, I've worked hard for this, I've done my notes, I've done my homework, I know what I need to go out there and do and execute. But it's baseball. Sometimes you execute a really good pitch and it gets hammered, so it's one of those things where it's just kind of like, you know, you just get nervous for what's to come. And you know, some days it's a good day and some days it's not. And you know, once I get out there, once I get on the mound, it's gone. It's like, you know, now I'm locked in, I'm ready to go. But you know, leading up to it, I've got some nerves, stomachs, you know, churning and all that.
We're talking to Royals opening day starter Cole Reagans here at 96.5 The Fan. Do you approach this season any differently? Last year, you obviously, your goal was to get to the postseason. You ended up pitching a lot more innings because of that. You go into this with the mindset of like almost expecting that you're going to have to pitch in October?
100%. That's definitely an expectation. That's our goal. Make it farther. You know, end goal is to win it all. You know, that's what we work for in the off season. It's spring training, preparing for, and you know, throughout the season, every game matters. So yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say there's some little things that I've been working on. You know, like cutting walks down, stuff like that, to get deeper into games, and you know, little things like that. But the overall goal is the same. You know, I'm trying to go out there and compete and win. That's my main goal, is to win. I don't care how I get there. I don't care how I do it, but to win. That's all that matters.
Was it nice to, like, you didn't know how the offseason was going to go, to end up with like you, Walker, and Lugo back together? I know you got other guys in there too, but like to get the core part of the rotation that was there last year, to have that like back and that, I don't know, camaraderie and all the stuff you guys are kind of used to.
Yeah, I mean, we're a pretty close-knit team. We do a lot of things outside of the field, but, you know, us starting pitchers, we talk a lot. We talk a lot in games, you know, that kind of stuff. So, obviously, Lugo was coming back, but to get Waka back was huge. He's a big part, you know, on the field, off the field. He's, you know, one of the best teammates you'll ever have. Just unbelievable. Obviously, what he did for us on the field last year was you know, unbelievable. Had an unreal year. You know, big part. We wouldn't have, you know, made it as far as we did without him. But what he does behind the scenes that people, and you know, don't really see is you know, just as important and just as big. He's just a, you know, he's one of our leaders.
You so like, I just like the way you guys describe it. The note taking part, like that's been the thing for you, right? I take all the notes. Is it? It's not falling into group work, right? Do they copying your notes? How does it work?
No,
how does the collaborative part of this work?
Yeah, so you know? I mean, like everybody's got a different way. Like, you know, Lugo can remember stuff like no one I've ever seen before. Like he's a very visual guy, and just can remember stuff like, he'll remember facing a guy from like 2 years ago and remember what he did. And it's like by pitch by pitch. And so we all have, you know, our different way of going about it. But then when we brainstorm, we come to the same agreement on how to pitch a guy for the most part. But we brainstorm. Those guys have done this for a while. And so it's like me asking them questions like, what do you, you know, we'll be sitting in the dugout. So let's say Waka's throwing, me and Lugo are sitting there and, you know, the other starters. And it's, hey, what are you throwing here? What would you throw here? Even though we don't have like, he's more of a spin guy than I am. But, you know, just, he's like, I'd go here because he just went here. And it's just like kind of, you know, brainstorming with each other. But like on start days, you know, we meet with Sal and Freddie and Sweeney and go over it. And, you know, Sweeney's done his homework. Sal and Freddie have done theirs and we've done ours. And it's, you know, 3-4 minds coming together. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, I saw this. What do you got on this? And it's like, oh, actually, you know, I like that. Or, I see this. This is why I wouldn't do that. Or, you know, little things like that. So
Lastly, you mentioned the note-taking, and I don't know if this goals is something that you keep internal and don't share, but do you have some individual goals here for the season? There are things that you wanted 223 strikeouts last year, so you were pretty close to the top of the league already in that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously the more innings, the better, so that thing. But, I mean, my biggest goal is to win. As many wins as I can possibly help this team get is my main goal. Like I said earlier, however I can do that, whatever I have to do, you know, is what I'll do. But I just want to win. That's all that matters.
So that was our conversation with Cole Reagans yesterday here at Workout Day. He, of course, is an hour and 15 or so minutes away from taking the bump in his first start in the Royals' first game of 2025. As we said with Vern, it's like, what else do you want from the guy in terms of level performance?
I'll take identical performance.
Exact same season. You know, for him personally, you know, yeah, I would love for him to say he won a Cy Young or something, but in terms of numbers and actually how he pitched,
maybe a couple less walks, but, like, I'm not even going to be that nitpicky about that.
But you heard him. He was critical of himself, right? Like, you know, his own critic saying, you know, if there's one thing, obviously winning ultimately is all he cares about, and I believe that, but, you know, he wouldn't mind cut back some walks a little bit, and we'll see how it goes first game today against a familiar opponent. You know, for the expectation for the team, the bar to be raised, I think every player individually is trying to raise the bar without trying to, like, do too much at the same time. And he truly is one of the, three, four guys on the team where he's like, all right, I know what I'm getting. I'm not going to even worry about it. There's more questions about other guys on the roster than him, that's for sure.
Drew, I can't remember if we got your official answer, so before we get out of here today,
I don't think so.
Let's make sure that we talk at least about our official predictions for the season, as we kind of did ours a little bit earlier. I was at 89 wins, Gold. You were at 90. We seem to feel like the season's going to go in a very similar capacity, and you and I both think that number, 89-90, is good enough for the American League Central.
I do. You know, I think there will not be three teams out of the Central this year that make the postseason.
I think it's going to be two.
I think it'll be down to two. And the 90 number, as much as it is about the Royals, it's about the rest of the division as well. And while the White Sox will not be a 40-win team, I think they're like a 55-win team. So is that the Royal? Are the Royals able to be as dominant against them? Are they going
only 12-3 this year instead of 14-1?
But that matters if you're. I mean, that could actually matter, right?
Yeah, it could. Couple of games.
But it sounds like I don't want to get way ahead of myself. It's game one today. But even a quick three-game series to open this thing up against Cleveland from a divisional perspective, when we're talking about at the end of the year when it comes down to a game or two, like, even this series, like, I'm not trying to build up this series. But
you're trying to say this decides it. When you lose a division by a game or two, technically a game or two now could end up being the difference at the end.
You start your season against a team that won the division last year.
Make a statement.
For obvious reasons, you want to win this opening series and kind of set the tone for the season.
How many wins you got, Drew?
87.
87. Hater. I'm just kidding.
Last year we were all
one win better than last year.
Last year we were 76, 77, 78.
And we don't talk about it ahead of time, so we end up in a very similar
And this
range
year
again.
We're all very, very close. Yeah.
I hope we're wrong by 10 games again and they win in the mid-90s.
Yeah. That'd be great, you know. Of course.
Well, if I'm wrong by 10 games on the positive, that means they won 100 games. So I don't think I'm going to be wrong by 10 games on the positive end. I can tell you that. I don't think they're getting to 100. The question is, can they avoid having the fall back to 82 or 83? Vegas will tell you the over-under is 82.5 for this team.
I still think that's low.
I do as well.
The final 180 seconds of the show brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Results every week, and then receive free support for life online at awaken180weightloss.com. No, I think this is a, you know what it is? It's like, I feel like that this is a truly solid Major League Baseball team, but also has an ace-level starter and a superstar.
Yep.
So, like, all the other components make for a solid baseball team, a competitive one, a 500-ish baseball team, right? Like, you'd put it on paper and you'd roll it out most years. You'd be like, not bad, guys. Good effort. But they have arguably the best player in the entire sport in Bobby Witt Jr. and one of the five best starters in all of baseball last year in a lot of ways in Cole Reagans. And so that combination just gives me so much confidence. That's why I'm getting to that 89 win total when I'm making a prediction. And I thought about 90, 91, 92. I had to take myself back a couple of wins. I was in the 90s there for a while.
But some of it is also looking at the other teams in the division. For all the question marks we might have at certain areas and does the rotation fall back, I mean, Minnesota, always an injury question with them. Royce Lewis is already hurt. The Detroit Tigers, they didn't get Alex Bregman. We'd be having a different conversation maybe about them taking a bigger leap past the Royals. And then Cleveland, here we are. It's like everybody counts them out every year, and they still find a way to win the division. But they didn't do anything that gets you overly excited. So that's why this thing is going to be so close. It's why every single projection, whether we're talking about a betting market, whether we're talking about Pecota and otherwise, like – these teams are all within, like, 2 to 4 games. I think even in Vegas, you're talking about 84 or 83 or 81.
Different books have different people winning it. Different people as favorites. Different people as the second, third, and fourth favorites. Minnesota is the most consensus favorite, but some books have the Royals or the Guardians as the favorite. Some have, like, it's all over the place. Everyone thinks this is a dogfight. Everyone thinks that this is going to be a division that is up for grabs every single day. So, yeah, to your point, today, you know, Cole Reagan's on the mound. You know what? I don't want to have to go into Game 3 last year where, like, Game 3 last year, I was like, oh, God, please win. Don't get swept to open
the season. It's amazing how quick it happens.
Please, Brady Singer. Please save us from feeling like things are getting bleak in a hurry and too many Aprils and March I've seen before. Just win one today so I can just, like, be stress-free.
Totally with you. But with that said, because of what they did, like, I don't think that should be the same convo.
If they were
to start 0-2, all right, nobody wants that. But if they were, I don't think you should be as concerned as you would have been, as you were last year.
Sure.
You know, like, this team has shown enough where, like, we shouldn't act like, oh my gosh, they're just done.
Sunken ship.
No. Yeah. I think this squad, while it's a new year, should have earned a little bit of faith that if they were to get off to a bad first week, you know, that we shouldn't panic. But I know that won't be how people react. But you know what? Cole Reagan's today, for the sake of everybody and for our show fund, you know, how about 7 strikeouts? How about a win? You know,
a Renfroe homer, a Massey homer.
Just be the back of his baseball card again. Get to 22 homers this year. Start with one today, and we're in business, man. We're in business.
This year we didn't have to hold on to a – you know, an Hermes bag for one of
that was two years ago.
We didn't have to save
very
a
nice
tent.
Family.
We didn't have to save a tent from nearly murdering an employee. It's been a really solid opening day this year.
Yeah,
drama free all day.
Sellout crowd. Beautiful
80 degrees
weather.
Later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Vern on Sunday will be wearing a coat, though. But today, enjoy it. Today, enjoy it. Sunday won't be great weather. Today, we can enjoy it. And Vern is all set to go. It's great to talk some baseball once again throughout the entire four-hour show today. And tomorrow, you're going to be out. Bink will be with me.
I got to do Dance Dad stuff tomorrow. I got to go watch my daughter compete in her solo contest tomorrow.
She's
going to destroy those other kids. It's not even how it works, but try to get her first.
You're that dad, huh? Okay.
No.
Yeah.
She finished second last year.
We'll talk to you tomorrow, 10-2. Up next, though, Vern's first on-deck show of the 2025 season right here on your home for the Royals, 96.5 The Fan.